You need to understand that when the rapture of the church takes place, which could be at any moment, any hour, any day, though some of us are of the opinion it probably will happen on a Rosh Hashanah, at the Feast of Trumpets, when the trump of God shall sound and time shall be no more. That is coming up next month, September 23rd, I think. It may be that, but we don't know. So the Bible says, be ready. Know that the return of the Lord will happen quickly. 1 Corinthians 15 says it's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. And so we just don't know when Jesus is going to come back, but we know he is. Why? He promised, John 14, 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many dwelling places or mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place, I will come again. That's the promise that we cling on to. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 tells you how it will happen. That we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then sometime shortly thereafter, apparently, the tribulation period will start. The tribulation period has an exact number of days, it's told to us, over in the book of Revelation. In the book of Daniel, we read in Daniel 7 chapter 7 this morning, that it will involve a time, times, and a half a time. That's 1 and 2 and a half, that's 3 and a half. And we know from Revelation it's talking about a period of 3.5 years, but it's talking about another period of 3.5 years. Together we call it the 7-year tribulation. The second 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. Now you say, what breaks the tribulation into two exact parts? And the answer to that is found in the passage that we read in Daniel 12. Now, keep your finger over there in 9, but flip to 12 for just a moment. And in Daniel chapter 12, we learned about something called the abomination that desolates. Or it's referred to, it's in verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, the abomination of desolation is set up. There shall be 1,290 days. That's the second half of the tribulation, called in another place in the Old Testament the Great Tribulation. In another place in the Old Testament, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob being Israel, time of Israel's trouble. So we know that it's going to affect the Middle East particularly. But when you read through the book of the Revelation from chapter 6 all the way through to chapter 19, you realize it's going to affect the whole world. He won't control the whole world, this man that puts his image in the temple and desolates it. Now from that we learn a couple of things. I'm back to chapter 9. We learn a couple of things. What are they? We learn that there'll be a temple during the tribulation period in Israel. And I mentioned a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, whichever Sunday it was, I mentioned the temple. The temple has not yet been built, but it's ready to be built. Once Israel secures a place on the Holy Mount. Right now on the Holy Mount, there are two Muslim mosques, one called the Mosque of Alexa, the other called the Dome of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock is not a meeting place, but they claim that it is where their leader ascended into heaven. So they built this beautiful mosque with the golden dome and incredible tile work over top of this great, huge rock. Now, the Jews believe that it is where the temple used to be. But more recently, some of the Jews have determined that the temple actually sat just north of that. And they're not sure where it sat, and they worry about stepping somewhere where the Holy of Holies was, and the holy place. And so it's very sacred to two people, to the Jews and to the Muslims. It is the third holiest Muslim site, and it is the most holiest place for Israel, for the Jew. Now, during the tribulation, which starts with a man confirming a covenant. Are you ready? We're going to start at verse 27. That's where I left off last week. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. How long is a week? 7 years. I know you were going to say 7 days, right? In Scripture, we are using statements that relate to years rather than days. So we're talking about 3.5 years plus 3.5 years, 7 years. He's going to confirm the covenant for 1 week. That is 1 week of years, 7 years. Now, we don't know what the covenant is. I have a sneaky suspicion. The covenant involves permission for Israel to build a temple on the Temple Mount where it belongs. Now, for years, we were all waiting for some tragedy to happen on the Temple Mount that would destroy the Dome of the Rock so that Israel could take it over again. That may not be necessary. God may not have that in the plans. But whatever the plans are, a temple is going to be built. And Jewish people are going to return to Old Testament sacrificial system. Keep that in mind. Remember, the 7 years, called the tribulation, is the 70th week of Daniel's prophecies. Now, where do we come up with that? Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up visions and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. In those 70 years, 69 of them were fulfilled, and there is this 70th week floating there in space, so to speak, and there's a big space of time between 69 and the destruction of the Jewish temple in 70 AD, and the return of Jesus for his people and the setting up of the temple in Jerusalem once again. During that space, something wonderful happened. God began to save people through the blood of Jesus Christ. God started something new. It is called the church or the church age. You and I are a part of that church. Now, when we talk about the church, if you say to your family, are you ready to go to church today? You're talking about coming to a building or to an assembly of people. You are the church, not the building we meet in. We call it the church, but really you are the church. And you are one little teeny part of the bigger church, which is now 2,000 years old. You get the picture? You are part of it. You're called the body of Christ. You're called the branches of Christ. You are called the building of Christ, Ephesians 2:22. And you are called the bride of Christ, Ephesians chapter 5. We are the bride of Christ. And so we are not going to be here because we're going to get caught up. And then God is going to start his time clock again with the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. And that's what we look at here in Daniel chapter 9. Then he, now who is the he? He is the prince of the Roman Empire. Now when you think of the Roman Empire, if you're thinking from Israel west to England, that's only one third of the Roman Empire. The other two thirds of the Roman Empire are east of Israel, east of Jerusalem, all the way over to India. Because the Roman Empire stretched that far. And we think, well, the Roman Empire died. No, it didn't. The western part faded away. but not the eastern part. The eastern part has resurrected. It's called the Great Islam. And I believe that the so-called Antichrist will come out of that. Now, you can call him whatever you want. Some people call him Antichrist. I personally believe he is world dictator. I give you a list up there. You can look that list over. There's a little bit more to it, but if you're writing notes, you can look at what's up there. At some time in the future, I will print that all out for anyone that wants a copy. I was going to print it out, put it in the bulletin, and I thought, nah, there'll only be 10 people that really care, so I'll let them ask for it, and we'll make them copies. But right now, I want you to go back with me to Daniel chapter 9. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he, call him the Antichrist if you want, that's what most people call him, I call him the world dictator. In the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and the offering, which means the temple will be built and will be used during the first 3.5 years. But then at the very middle day, between the first half and the second half, God is not speaking in generalities. God is speaking in specifics when he tells you how many days is going to be involved in that second half. At the end of the middle, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring in an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. Now that's kind of confusing, but when we read chapter 12 and verse 11, it said that. It said, from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. What's the extra 45? I have no idea, and I've never read anybody who had any idea what those extra 45 days were between those two verses. But you can do the math later on. Back in chapter 9. Even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. I believe that's talking about King Jesus coming back and putting an end to the rule and the reign of this guy, world dictator, Antichrist, whichever name you choose to use. You'll notice that he has a lot of other names. He has the name of the Roman prince. He's called the little horn in Daniel 7. We read that this morning. He is called the man of sin over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's also called in that same verse the son of perdition. He is called the beast out of the sea, Revelation chapter 13. He is called the first beast. He is called the beast. He is called the willful king. And he is called the image. In other words, an image of him is set up. And we learn from Revelation that when the image of the beast is set up, that the second beast, beast number 2, which we'll get to talk about shortly, when the beast number 2 comes, he makes the image of the first beast that is set in the temple, thus destroying and desolating the temple. He will make it talk. Now, how does he do that? Well, there's only one that would have power to do that, and that would be Satan, right? And so the second beast, which probably is Jewish and should be called Antichrist, but isn't by most people, the second beast has names like the false prophet, the false Christ, the false Messiah, the idol shepherd, the hireling shepherd. All of these refer to beast number 2. Now, just like our president has a vice president, so this Antichrist guy, or world dictator is going to have a cohort, someone that works with him. And it's been suggested that one guy is going to be the political power and the other guy is going to be the religious power. Now, I want to suggest to you today that this guy, number one, that we best started out talking about, the one that's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, is going to be Islamic. He's going to be a world Islamic leader. Now, we read this morning in chapter 7 about this guy and about the terrible things that he's going to do. Look back with me to chapter 7. Starting in verse 7. After this, I saw in a night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceeding strong. It had a huge iron teeth, and it was devouring and breaking in pieces. Now, when you read the word iron, you have to go back to Daniel's image. Daniel chapter 2, we don't have time to look there. But when you go back to Daniel's image, you remember in the image, the top of the image, the head and the upper part of the shoulders was gold. And we are told that that was who? That was Nebuchadnezzar. That was the world Babylon kingdom. And then you go down and the next section, the chest and the torso and the arms, that was silver. And we are told that that was the Medo-Persian Empire that came in and defeated Nebuchadnezzar's great-grandson, Belshazzar, and took over the kingdom of Babylon and the kingdom of Persia and the Medes and the Babylonians now stretched all the way to India. Well, that got defeated too. And that got defeated, you remember, by who? The Greeks. Alexander the Great. And he stretched his kingdom all the way to India. And back up into Europe as well, obviously. So keep those world things in mind and keep the metals in mind, okay? That was bronze. Then along came the Roman Empire. In the days of Jesus. And that is pictured in that great image of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2 as iron. And the feet are pictured as iron mixed with clay, which does not congeal, obviously. It's just that the clay dries and holds the pieces of iron together. And that is the picture of our modern day. And then it says in that passage that there was a great rock cut out of the mountain, came rolling down to the down the mountain, hit the feet of that great image, the whole image turned to powder, and that little rock became the great kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you cannot study Daniel without putting all those pieces together. Now, back here to verse 7. Huge iron teeth. So that says that this kingdom, this last guy, is going to be part of the Roman Empire. But notice it says that he will trample the residue with his feet. It was different than all of the other before him, and it had 10 horns. Now, I'm not going into the 10 horns right now, but I want you to see iron teeth. And had the evidence of being out of the Roman Empire then. I was considering the horns, and there was yet another horn, a little one, coming up among them, and before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. So that leaves how many? Eight. You had 10. Now you get number 11. Number 11 gets rid of three. So now we have eight kingdoms or eight kings or eight rulers that are under the control of this one. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man. Now we have beasts, and now we have beasts that that have the face, or at least the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things, pompous words. Did you think about how many times the word pompous was in that passage? Three times or four, I believe. But let me tell you something. All of this wretched stuff that's going to happen with this man of sin, this Roman prince, this son of perdition, the beast out of the sea, all these things are going to come to an end because King Jesus comes roaring out of heaven. And you read, as we did last week, I believe, Revelation chapter 9, and you see how it ends, and you can triumphantly say, "We win." Say it with me. We win. Now, we being the children of God, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not going to win, brother or sister. You are going to go through the tribulation, a terrible time. Yes, you will have a chance to get saved right after the rapture. And if you don't respond at that point, folks, you are sealed into hell for eternity. That's the truth. And so you search your heart this morning, just like Pastor Scott said, search your heart. Make sure you're a child of God. Make sure you're walking with our Savior. Make sure you're ready to be caught up in the air. The Bible says in a twinkling of an eye, somebody many years ago tried to figure out what a twinkle was. It doesn't say a wink of an eye. It says a twinkle. That's when the spark of light just flashes off your eye. And I believe it was 1/6,000th of a second. Can you imagine being from sitting in your pew to being in the streets of glory in less than a second? Wow. Are you ready?